everybody. Welcome to the Bernier's a Turd podcast. My name is Jason Carello. I'll be your host. I have a hate-on for Steve Bernier. I don't really have a reason for that. I just always have. I'm here tonight with Chris Withers. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Jason. I am completely indifferent about Steve Bernier. I nevertheless support you.
Awesome. It's always good to have good friends. Is there anybody on the Canucks roster that you do despise?
I absolutely hate Andrew Alberts. This guy is the most useless excuse for a defenseman that the Canucks have had since Dana Murzyn.
Okay, so we're actually not going to wait to get into the hate on segment of the show. Perhaps we could just dive right in there.
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
And now you hate, mind you, Andrew Alberts.
Andrew Alberts has been a goat so often that they need somebody on the bench right now in Vancouver to translate. You can edit that out and put in a goat sound if you so desire.
No, that's good. That was a pretty good goat sound. It sounds like you've got some practice of your own. Now, Vigneault, AV, has recently benched Shane O'Brien for a number of games in favor of Mr. Alberts. Not just because of the play on the ice, but for some other things.
Well,
do,
yeah,
do
I
you
mean,
agree
let's...
with that?
Let's be fair, it had nothing to do with Shane O'Brien's play. He's been playing fantastic. It had to do with him being fat. You know, a two-week break. He was obviously hitting the salad bar in Hawaii. Yeah, he deserved what he got. He showed up late for practice, and he was 10 pounds overweight.
Just a little bit of irony. The two of us calling Shane O'Brien fat is rather hilarious. I'm glad it's a podcast. You can just use your imagination.
I am Chris the Radio Face Withers.
Right on. I'm actually somewhat of a decent-looking man. I just tend to let myself go from time to time. Okay, so we do have a couple of segments that we're going to get to today. The first one is Hank for Hart. A lot of people are talking about it, tweeting about it, blogging about it. If you're on the West Coast, you're probably cheering for Henrik Sedin to win the Hart Trophy. You don't think he even deserves consideration for that hardware.
Not at all. I would absolutely love to see Henrik Sedin win the Hart Trophy. It's not going to happen. He has 29 goals at this point in the season, and he's competing against a couple of guys who are pushing 50.
Now, last time I checked, though, Chris, it's not the Rocket Richard Trophy. It's the Hart Trophy. It's not a goal trophy.
That's true. That is very true. However, when you're taking into consideration Henrik Sedin for the Hart Trophy, you're looking at his point production. The fact that he has, you know, close to 110 points is the only reason that he is even being considered for this trophy.
You're saying if Alex Ovechkin had 80 points, he'd still be in the running?
I think Alex Ovechkin, as a potent goal scorer, has a much, much larger impact on his team, I think, than Henrik Sedin does.
Henrik Sedin helped to power his team through some major injuries this year. We had injuries and poor play from Roberto Luongo. We've outscored those mistakes, as John Garrett said during the game tonight. We've outscored our mistakes. We are looking at the second highest goal production in the NHL with significant games missed by Daniel Sedin, by Michael Samuelson, by a number of guys. Pavel Dimitra has not put the puck in the net this year.
That goal production has been picked up as much by Mason Raymond and as much by some of the other 20 and 30 goal scorers like Michael Samuelson as it has by Henrik Sedin.
But if you take a look at somebody like Samuelson, you think he scores 30 goals without Henrik. Burrows, does he score 35 goals without Henrik? I mean, these guys scored these goals because they played with Henrik Sedin.
Absolutely. The problem is that when you're looking at assist production, the NHL chooses to award two assists on each goal. That means that a significant number of Henrik Sedin's points, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but a significant number of Henrik Sedin's points are going to be second assists, where he fed someone else who fed someone who scored. And the impact of such a second assist is not quite so significant as a goal or a first assist.
Okay, now you're treading some pretty dangerous territory here, my friend. Wayne Gretzky, 212 points, 215 points, the two top point-producing seasons in NHL history, and a significant number of his 2,000-plus points came on second assists.
Absolutely.
So
I'm not saying that the record shouldn't stand. I'm not saying Gretzky wasn't a great player. I'm just saying that the impact of a second assist is less than a goal or a first assist.
Okay, so I've just done a little bit of research on the magic that is the interweb. And according to ProHockeyTalk.NBCSports.com, James O'Brien wrote just a week ago that Henrik had 75 assists at that time. 39 of those were second assists.
And is there any data on there on what Alex Ovechkin's total would be?
There is nothing there. But as you said, Alex Ovechkin is looking at pushing a 50-goal season. Okay, some interesting ideas. We'll move on to the next bit, which is all about the Rocket Richard. Since you're clearly wishing that Henrik would get hit by a taxi,
I said nothing of the kind.
I'm sorry.
And let's not be putting words in each other's mouth.
It's
I would dearly love to see Henrik Sedin get the Hart Trophy.
It's all on tape, my friend. And we've got two games remaining for Alex Ovechkin. He has 48 goals. Three games remaining for Sid the Kid Crosby. He has 48. And three games remaining for Steve Stamkos.
Steve Stamkos, the sophomore.
In his second season, has 47 goals with three games remaining. We have potentially three players will hit the 50-goal plateau. Do you think any of these guys are going to do it?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say at least two. At least two of them. I'm going to say Ovechkin and Stamkos are both going to hit 50 goals.
Okay.
And can I just say that Gary Bettman is going to be insufferable being able to trot out the statistic that we now have two 50-goal scorers for the first time in how long?
In a while, in quite a while. Ovechkin has won the last two Rocket Richard trophies,
mm-hmm.
one of them with under 50 goals. Do you think they should award the Rocket Richard trophy if the leading scorer in the league does not get 50 goals in a season?
Yes. Why not?
It's named after a guy famous specifically because he scored 50 goals. 50 goals is kind of a magical mark. Do you think it besmirches Maurice Richard's name to have that trophy given out if the leading scorer gets, say, 40 goals?
No, not at all. We're playing a completely different game from the one that Rocket Richard played.
Well, then should it be called the Wayne Gretzky Trophy?
That's an interesting idea. I don't see the need to go out and start renaming trophies at this point. I think it takes away something from the history of the game when you start doing like that, like we did with the Smythe Division and the Norris Division being taken away, for example. There are going to be seasons where not everybody has the potential to reach 50 goals. The goalies are good. The defense is good. It's just not going to happen every year.
Okay, I'll go on record as saying the Rocket Richard Trophy should only be awarded if the leading scorer gets 50 goals. I think that if you're going to have a history attached to a trophy like that, it should have a reason, should have a purpose, and the Rocket got 50 and 50.
What do you mean a reason or a purpose? The reason or the purpose is to reward the player with the best goal total for the season.
Right, and I don't think that we should be rewarding somebody who simply is at the top because of the ineptness of his competitors. Just like I don't think that NHL teams should get a point for losing a game.
That's a completely different issue. That's like saying that if you're playing... I'm not sure where I was even going with that metaphor.
All right, well, that was an excellent comeback, Chris. Clearly, you won that point. I'm so glad that I invited you here for this initial podcast. Okay,
hey,
Detroit...
Jason, if you're going to invite somebody with no broadcasting experience whatsoever, you're going to get what you get.
Detroit versus Pittsburgh. A week ago, you suggested that that would be bad for hockey if Detroit and Pittsburgh both managed to make it to their third consecutive cup final. You have since gone back on that and said that that they might be able to sell it. But I'm interested to hear some of your arguments about why that would be bad for hockey.
Well,
what were your ideas there?
I think the Canadian market, first of all, needs to really have something to cheer for. I think that it's been a couple of years now since I think Calgary was the last team to make it into the cup final.
Calgary and Edmonton back to back.
I don't think that a Canadian market is going to get behind a Detroit-Pittsburgh series, or I didn't think that. Now, given what happened back on February 28th. I think seeing Sidney Crosby in the Stanley Cup final would be a huge draw for Canada.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As much as I would love to see a couple of different horses in that race, Sidney Crosby had a difficult Olympics. He didn't play particularly well. It wasn't that he was checked, you know, into the boards or anything, or really held off the score sheet. He was just holding the stick really tight. There was a lot of pressure on this guy.
Don't tell Ryan Kessler that. I think he might have different ideas for you.
I just think, because it wasn't just the U.S. games. I mean, did Crosby, he had one goal against the Russians, but didn't Mike Babcock score a goal against the Russians? I think,
it did take him, what, 3 or 4 tries to get that shootout winner against the Swiss, didn't it?
Yeah, and, well, 2. He shot twice in that.
But was it first, twice? I thought it was 3.
No, it was twice. But they, in Olympic hockey, they have the option of putting him in. They can put one player in continuously.
Right,
after that
right.
First
and it went at least one extra round.
He was the first extra shooter.
Oh, okay.
He was the first extra shooter. Crosby had a tough Olympics. He wasn't in the top goal scorers in the tournament. Not that that means anything. Are you listening, Pavel Dimitra? But he didn't really shine. He didn't carry the team the way we thought he might. But he did score that the overtime winner, the golden goal. So it certainly would be a good story if he was also...
It sure would. I just don't think that Detroit in the Stanley Cup Finals is, first of all, realistic, and second of all...
You don't think they've got a shot?
Oh, they're playing well.
These guys are one of the best teams in the league since Christmas.
When I see Jimmy Howard in a playoff series, then I'll let you know.
Okay. Don't forget, this is a team that rode Chris Osgood to 2 consecutive finals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do they really need to have a massive goaltending display back there in order to make the cup final?
Nick Lidstrom's a lot older than he was.
He's actually only 1 year older than he was last year.
He's 2 years older than the last time they won the cup.
1 year older than... All right. Good argument. Again, it is an older team.
This is going to turn into the Chris Withers is a turd podcast shortly.
Well, that's actually what Bernier means in English. Bernier means Chris Withers when you translate it directly. For those of you just tuning in, I don't know how you would do that in the middle of a podcast, but for those of you just tuning in, this is the Bernier is a turd podcast. I'm Jason Carillo, and this is Chris Withers. We're talking about Detroit and Pittsburgh and their chances to get to their third straight Stanley Cup final. Now, you say that you don't think Detroit is realistically going to go deep in the playoffs. This is a team everybody in the Western Conference is scared to play this team.
In the first round, I don't know about a deep run. I can maybe see them getting to the conference finals. I think that if they play Vancouver, and this is not at all a home city bias, I think that Vancouver will take them down.
Now, your reasoning behind Detroit not going far is goaltending.
Goaltending and age.
Lou is having a tough time of it lately. Do you think that Vancouver's got it in them to go for a deep run?
I do. They've outscored their problems. Whether they can continue that in the playoffs obviously remains to be seen. I think they can.
Without solid goaltending and without a healthy defense, we're missing Willie Mitchell. Erhoff is out for a little while. Andrew Alberts, as you said, is not the most reliable fellow. We're not looking at a really sturdy back end there.
We're looking at essentially the same back end that they've been playing with since January, and they've done fine. I also think that, and you disagree with me on this point, you think that Luongo is having some kind of mental issue.
I think there's something, there's something up. Something is got into his head. He hasn't had a good year. He didn't go on his annual shutout run that he's done for the 3 years in a row. Yeah. In, about 6 weeks into the season, he just finds his groove and he goes on a long shutout run. Didn't do that this year. Didn't have that. And he said himself, he doesn't know what's going on.
This is a bit of a unique year, both in terms of the compressed schedule in which he didn't play that many fewer games for the Canucks than he normally does, unless you count the ones in which he was, pulled at the end of the first period. He's played an awful lot of hockey in an awful short time for an NHL goaltender. And I think that's going to have something to do with it. I also think that after the Olympics, I think he's still a bit hungover. The Canucks have not been in serious danger of missing the playoffs, and I think he's waiting for some hockey that counts again.
Okay, interesting. Some people said he looked a little bit shaky, even though they won gold medal at the Olympics. They thought he was fighting the puck a little bit, that the famous bit that Ryan Kesler did during the interview between the second and third period. And he hasn't been able to shut the door even one time when it really mattered. We saw Minnesota come back and score. Atrocious defense. The Canucks gave up two goals in less than a minute to allow, after scoring an empty net goal, mind you. I've never seen that before.
No, that was a first. And one of those goals definitely was Luongo's fault. The one where he was cheating to the left. I think Brunette put it out front and someone else put it home on the short side.
Right.
Yeah, that was definitely on Luongo. Yeah, call it faith. Call it belief without evidence, if you will. But I think he's going to turn it around. He's too much of a competitor to let a Stanley Cup playoff opportunity go without bringing the best that he can.
Okay, I've got to say, I was the first one to applaud when the Canucks first got Roberto Luongo. I had a huge hate on for Dan Cloutier from the day that he arrived in Vancouver. I always thought he was the weak link when we had those high-flying Marcus Naslund and Todd Bertuzzi teams, Ed Jovanovski on the back end, and lo and behold, you know, we're up 2-0 on Detroit, and he lets in that goal from center and fell apart.
I was in the building. Don't remind me.
But here's the thing. Last year's final 2 games against Chicago looked an awful lot like those games against Detroit. They were up 3-2 or 3-1. I can't remember. They were up in that series. Chicago came back and put the fear of stink into Luongo.
Yeah.
They've chased him once this year. They've spooked him. I honestly think that Chicago, for whatever reason, has gotten into Luongo's brain, and that has started to creep into other games. And that's when we've started to see him have his little meltdowns.
I think you're overanalyzing his psych profile right now. I don't think that it's as complicated as you make it. I think it's a combination of fatigue and the fact that these games have not meant a whole lot.
Pittsburgh, do you think they've got a shot at coming out of the East for the third straight year?
Yeah, I think anything can happen once you get into into a series. It's...
What, who are you, Kevin Weeks? Come on, give me something to work with here.
Anything can happen once...
Come on, do you think they're going to come out of the East or not?
No, I do not.
So who's going to come out of the East?
It's going to be Washington again.
You think so?
It's going to be Washington breaking through this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
So do you think Ovechkin has come out of his post-Olympic funk? He scored 2 goals tonight, 1-2 an empty net, but that's 2 goals. He's now tied with Henrik for the scoring lead with 2 games left.
What's he got? 5 points in his last 2 games now?
Yeah. Do you think he's out of his funk?
He's out of his funk, and there is enough offensive firepower on that team with Semin, like, he's got a ton of support around him. Mike Green, that team is going to do pretty special things in the playoffs this year.
So
I am really looking forward to seeing a Pittsburgh-Washington, hopefully a conference final.
I'm hoping that we get to see that a few years in a row. It was a really entertaining hockey last year, and I think it would be again this year. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But you know who I think is a dark horse in the East? Jersey. Brodeur has found his game again. 600th win tonight. He's got another shutout. You know, Jersey, maybe Buffalo, but Jersey, they're dangerous.
Who are they looking at playing first round?
That's a good question, Chris. Let me just find that out. And while I do that, I'd like you to just think about this a little bit. What do you think about the recent blindside hits discussion? It was all over the radio, all over the internet, yet nobody talked about that big hit that Steve Moore put on Marcus Naslund that, of course, ended up with the Bertuzzi retribution debacle. Nobody has shown that video, and this would definitely fall into the category of blindside headshot. Nobody has addressed any past instances.
I'm going to have to look at that video again. Was it completely blindsided? Because if I remember, I thought Naslund was going down trying to get out of the way of that elbow.
Nope. He was reaching for a puck, totally blindsided.
The media these days is all about what's happening right now. Marcus Naslund's hit didn't contribute at all to the headshot discussion. What did contribute to the discussion were David Booth's 2 concussions, Matt Cook his blindside hit that I still haven't been able to quite pick up because it happened right in the very corner of the screen on that video clip. Just looking at the standings here now, it's looking like a New Jersey Philly.
New Jersey Philly, if the playoffs started today, but the Bruins have a game in hand on Philadelphia, and they're only 1 point back of Philly for seventh. As well, the Buffalo Sabres have the same number of games remaining as Jersey, as do Pittsburgh. Any of these guys could finish in second place. It's really up for grabs. They could play almost anybody except Washington.
I will say this. The team that I would watch out for right now is the Ottawa Senators. They've been playing some fantastic hockey in the last 10 to 15 games. And I think their first-round opponent is in for a tough, tough fight.
These guys have won 7 out of their last 10 games, and some of those games they've won convincingly.
You're talking New Jersey?
I'm talking about Ottawa. I agree Ottawa. With you. Okay. They look good. The problem is the same problem that we've got in Vancouver. Swedes.
Swedes are the problem.
Swedes are the biggest problem.
Damn those Northern Europeans.
They're everywhere. Have you looked at the streets in this city? Our children are unsafe. The fact is that unless you're wearing a Detroit Red Wing jersey, you have not won hardware with a significant number of Swedes on your team. Okay, they won the Olympic gold in Salt Lake? No, we won that one. They won the one after that in Torino. But they sure as hell didn't show up for this one here in Vancouver. They lost to Pavel Dimitra.
Yeah, people can say that teams don't show up. It's a one-game playoff. Now, it's cliche. You can call me Kevin Weeks again if you like. Anything can happen. Pavel Dimitra can beat Team Sweden.
You know, I've got to say, Kevin Weeks is a handsome man.
And I'm not?
You actually told me earlier in this podcast that you were not. You called yourself Chris Radioface Withers. You said that your very self. Don't blame me for this.
You could be a little supportive. You could say, no, Chris, no, you have a fine face for television. Lie, if you must.
Steve Moore hit Marcus Naslund a horrendous blindside hit a couple of seasons ago. Naslund was never the same. After that, of course, Vancouver fans all know that. They also know the aftermath of everything, Bertuzzi and the face plant into the ice and the vertebra and the court cases, well, all that kind of stuff.
That settles it. We should retroactively suspend Steve Moore.
He definitely needs...
That's a great goal.
Just watching the third period in the Colorado game, Daniels just scored a sweet goal to tie it up. Did Henrik get an assist on that?
He certainly got the first assist on that.
Henrik moves 1 point up on Alexander Ovechkin. So with 2 games remaining, Henrik is on top in the scoring race still. That's pretty amazing. This is nice. The Sedins scoring on the rush.
Yeah, great to see them pass up an opportunity to skate it into the corner for 3 minutes.
As much as I enjoy watching them do those chess match goals, it is nice to see them switch it up a little bit. That probably surprised Anderson that they did shoot on the rush, because that's not normal.
The only thing that would have been more surprising there is if Henrik had taken the shot himself, I think.
Well, now you're just talking fantasy. This is not a genre podcast, okay? Is there anything you want to talk about right now, Chris? We're pushing 30 minutes here.
Well, we've talked about Steve Moore. We've talked about the goal-scoring race, the point-scoring race.
Hank Verhart.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's briefly just touch on how big a loss is it for Ryan Johnson to be out 4 to 6 weeks for the Vancouver Canucks?
I think it depends on who we play in the first round. If I honestly think we're going to play Nashville. If we play Nashville, surprisingly, I think it's a huge loss. I think Ryan Johnson plays... a gritty game, and that's what we need against Nashville.
There aren't too many guys who are going to get down in front of a Shea Weber shot.
Yeah, and
Johnson's one of them.
Johnson's 3 of them.
The saving grace is that our penalty kill is tragic even with him in the lineup. So it's not going to make a huge difference the way that the Canucks play their game.
If you are right and Luongo picks up his game in the playoffs because it means something, I think that PK number is going to shoot right up.
Well, absolutely.
The goaltender's your biggest penalty killer,
right? Oh, no, you're doing the cliches. Sorry, Kevin Weeks.
No, that was a John Garrett special.
Okay.
So you just put that back in your pocket, mister. All right, next time out, we're going to go we're going to talk a little bit about the new NHL playoff commercials. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. We'll get into that later. And Mark Messier notwithstanding. And we'll also be talking about Cap Geeks statistics for next year. How does it look with Ryan Kesler's big new contract? Who are we going to keep? Who are we going to let go? And just how far away can we guarantee Pavel Demitra will be at the beginning of next season?
And your NHL Stanley Cup playoff predictions all next time on the Bernier's a Turd podcast.
Bernier's a turd. Bernier is a big, big turd.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain.